Titled the message, Count Your Blessings. Count Your Blessings. We read this earlier, the whole psalm, and my intention was to try and get through more of the psalm than I'm going to get through today. If you've looked at your bulletin, you realize that I'm going to speak a couple of times today. So that's exciting to me because I normally speak for a half hour to 40 minutes. So I get to speak a lot more today. So, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The call to praise is in verses 1 and 2. The call to praise. Count your blessings. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Sir, Spurgeon said this about this song, doubtless about the psalm, doubtless by David, it's written. It is his own style when it's at its best. And we should attribute it to his later years when he had a higher sense of the preciousness of pardon, because a keener sense of sin than is in his younger days, his clear sense of frailty of life indicates his weaker years, as also does the very fullness of his praiseful gratitude. As in the lofty Alps, some peaks rise above all others, so among even the inspired psalms, there are heights of song which overtop the rest. That's what Spurgeon said about this. He also said that if you were going to have one hymn to sing in the church, this would be the hymn to sing. It covers so much. He said you could take this and have many of the themes or most of the themes in the Bible and in this one psalm, most of the important themes. This is one of the psalms that I have marked with a star in my Bible. So if I'm going through the psalms and I just want to read certain psalms, this is the one I have, one of the ones I have a star by. I notice just over, I have one by Psalm 100 as well. They're just certain psalms that when I'm kind of glancing through and I want something to read, I just put a star by those. So I read them over and over. It's a psalm to be read often, especially when faced with hardships of life or depression or despair. It's a psalm to help us refocus our minds on all that God has done for us. You might be in some time of life and he's like, you know, the problems of life are just overflowing. Go to Psalm 100 and read it. It reminds me in Romans 8:31, it says this, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And Psalm 103 shows us that God is for us. God is for us. It would be hard to find a person who had gone through as much hardship as David in his life. It's maybe hard to find somebody who had sinned as greatly as David in his life, and yet he experienced God's forgiveness. I believe this would have been later in his life. So many of the hardships and so many of the sins he'd already experienced. And after all this, he still calls out, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that's within me, bless his holy name. So not only a call to praise, it's a call to wholehearted praise. Wholehearted praise. Notice David's praises. Wholehearted. Let all that is within me. When you praise God, it's not time for divided interest. You know, how many times do you come to church and your interest is divided? We come to church to worship and to praise God, yet we come with divided interest. We're worried more about, I don't know what you might be worried about, the meal in the oven at home or many other things that distract us, maybe the week to come or maybe the week past. But when we come to praise God, when we come to bless God, we should give him our wholehearted attention. And isn't God worthy of our wholehearted attention? How much time do we actually spend in church? How much time do we actually spend together, gathered together as a body of believers? Can we not give wholehearted attention during that time? You know, sometimes there's distractions during the service, distractions during the offertory, distractions during other times. We should give that whole hour to God. We should give our wholehearted praise to God. To bless the Lord means to exalt His name. To bless God is to adore Him. It speaks of praising Him for all He is. You know, at times, how many of us do not like praise? We are to praise God, but we know how much we like praise. We know how much when we like somebody saying, "Oh, you did a really good job there," and we like that. Well, God is worthy of all our praise. When my puppy does something right outside, I call him to me, and he comes when he's supposed to. I praise him. "Oh, good puppy." You know what? He just loves that. He just starts wiggling all over, and it's like, "Oh, I love this praise." We start to praise God. In sports, people are often praised for making a good play. "Oh, you did a good job." A lot of people praise themselves. "Oh, I did such a great job." To bless and praise God is to speak or think good about either one or all of God's many names, attributes, or acts. You know, you may run across people who murmur against the Lord. It's easy to find people taking the Lord's name in vain. It's easy to find people who like to speak of their own praises. But we should be different than that. We should be people who bless. We should be blessing the Lord with all our heart. To bless the Lord means to speak enthusiastically of God's attributes and blessings that He gives to man and He gives to us. Notice David starts out, and I don't have time to go over all of these things, but notice David starts out by saying, "Bless His holy name." The first thing that he wants to bring out is the holiness of God, His holy name. God is separate from all sin, separate from all the dirt and all the problems of this life. God is holy, and He's separate from all that's sinful or wrong in our world. But notice as he goes on in verse 2, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits." Don't forget all of God's benefits. Let me ask you a question. How often do we remember to praise God for all He's done for us? I'm not talking about, you know, you sit down at a meal, "Oh, thank you, Lord, for this and thank you for that," and we just kind of go through our list. How often do we stop and just praise God for all His benefits? Forget not all His benefits. You know, there's no greater danger than forgetting. There's no greater danger in the Christian life than forgetting. The first, you might not think this, but forgetting to praise God is one of the first steps towards spiritual shipwreck. Forgetting all that God has done for you is one of the first steps. Israel forgot God, and ultimately it led to their destruction and captivity. God warned them not to forget. Let me read a few verses here. Deuteronomy 4:9 says this, "Only take heed." God's talking to the children of Israel before they go into the promised land. He says to them, "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen," all the miracles coming out of Egypt, all the wilderness wanderings, "lest thou forget the things that thy eyes have seen, and lest thou depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and to thy sons' sons." So it's God was saying it's very dangerous if we forget to bless God. It's so important that you should teach them to your sons and to your grandkids. It's that important. Don't forget. You know what? If you rehearse something often, you are apt to remember it. We are to bless God at all times. His praise shall always be in our mouth. I wonder how many of us are pretty forgetful when it comes to truly praising God. Deuteronomy 4:23, just later on in that same chapter, he says, take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God. So how good were the children of Israel at remembering? Judges 3:7, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord. And we are often much like the children of Israel. Psalm 78, 40 through 43 says this, how oft did thy people, they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy, how he wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan. You know what I say? Do whatever it takes to remember to praise the Lord. You might need to put little plaques up in your house. You might need to put a plaque on your refrigerator, you know, with neon. Some of you need neon lights. You need to bring back the neon lights and have a flashing sign on the refrigerator that comes on when you turn on the coffee pot. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, because some of us are just, it's just so easy for us to forget. We get going on all of our other things. Do whatever it takes to remember to praise God for all he has done for you. How many of our problems, complaining, bitterness in life would go away if we just remembered to praise God for all he's done? How much of all the problems that we make up in our mind, all the problems that we kind of get there and we just kind of concentrate on, would just go away if we remembered to praise God for all he's done? Remember all his good deeds. What is it that we're not to forget? All his benefits. You know, often when people apply for a job, what's the first thing they want to know? How much does it pay? Right? How much does it pay? Maybe how many hours do I have to work? What's the second thing they want to know? What's the benefit package? What type of benefit package are I offering? Employers offer benefits sometimes like health care, 401k, dental, vision. I even saw a job that offered pet insurance as one of the benefits. One of the benefits you got at that job was your pet was covered under insurance policy. Oh, Sammy would like that. He'd be like, oh, you love me, Dad. You got pet insurance for me. And now I'm all ready. You know, when I go to the hospital, I can get my... But, you know, companies offer, why do they offer all these benefits? Well, they know that good employees are more apt to go to their place and work for them if they offer all these benefits. As Christians, we need to realize that there's are benefits to having God as our Father. There are great benefits. You know what? If an employer gives you all these benefits, sometimes, you know, it's like, I might have to take my dog to the vet and have a checkup, and they say, oh, he's got this problem. You're going to have surgery. Oh, it's $3,000? I'm glad I have pet insurance. I might go to my employer the next day and say, oh, thank you for having pet insurance because you just saved me $3,000. Whoa, that's a great benefit. The problem is we often forget the benefits and choose to focus on the problems of living in a sin-cursed world. And we don't, like David, say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Let me say this morning, don't forget God's benefits. Don't forget to praise God, because he is worthy of all our praise. Through five, his personal benefits. I believe verses 1 through 5 speak of personal benefits that David received. These are personal benefits that David had witnessed and could bless the Lord for. Notice how personal verses 1 through 5 are, bless the Lord, O my soul. Then he uses thine and thy throughout this section. But then in the following verses, he switches the words he uses. There is a switch that takes place in verse 6. He says, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Notice verse 7, he speaks of the children of Israel. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. And then from that point on, he speaks of us and them. So he switches out the way he's speaking throughout this psalm. So I believe the first verses 3 through 5 are personal benefits that David believed he had received from the Lord. So what benefits had David personally received from the Lord? And first he mentions forgiveness of all thine iniquities. Notice verse 3 says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. So first is forgiveness of all iniquities, a personal blessing. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Scarlet and crimson were color fast. You couldn't get that stain out. If you had clothes back then and you somehow had scarlet dye or crimson dye on your clothes, it was set. You're not getting it out. You could get out all the shout and all the different things and it's not coming out. And so notice when he says, your sins, though they be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Yeah, so the idea here is the Lord forgives sins and he takes out even the bad ones. Okay? The Lord forgives all of our iniquities. All you ladies know you've struggled to get a stain out of something and you've worked and you've tried this and you've tried that. Well, when God forgives our sins, he washes them all white as snow, no matter the sin. And David could understand that after his murder and cover up and all that. He can understand the Lord forgives all my iniquities, all those sins that you know right now that you're thinking about that you don't want anybody to know about. That sin that you can look back at and think, I hope nobody ever finds this out. When you confess your sins to the Lord, he takes out all your sins, even that sin. Later in David's life, he came to full realization of the complete forgiveness available in the Lord. And we can be assured of the same forgiveness that he forgives all our iniquities. If you've been saved, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection paid for all your sins, past, present, and future. You know, for the believer, unconfessed sin breaks fellowship with God, but not our relationship as a child of God. A child may break fellowship with his earthly parents through some sin, but he will always be their child. A parent may even say, he's not my child anymore. However, it does not change the truth. He's still your child. And once you become a child of God, that can never change. You are always a child because he forgives all thine iniquities. Not only that, he says, he healeth all thy diseases. In David's case, I believe he could be a reference to the sickness he suffered when he was not confessing his sin after Bathsheba, and he's not confessing his sin. Don't have time to go there, but Psalm 32 covers that, talks about how his bones waxed old through his roaring all the day long. In other words, he was suffering from sickness because he had unconfessed sin, and he knew that all the weight of that sin, and when he did confess that sin, the Lord healed him of all that sickness. One thing is for sure, David eventually died. He says he healeth all my diseases, but we know David died. He got old, he became sick, and he died. Another thing is certain, God did eventually heal all his diseases. Think about that. God did eventually heal all his diseases. You know, unless the Lord, God may choose to heal a Christian today. However, ultimately, this is David's personal testimony, I believe. And so when you read it, he healeth all thy diseases. I believe that's speaking of David. It was David's personal testimony. But unless the Lord returns, every one of us will give way to some ailment. All of us will become sick, unless we're in a car accident or something. All of us will have some ailment that causes death. That's true because of the curse of sin. All of us will get sick. All of us will die. But there's another truth that we can be assured of as Christians. And that's found in Revelation 21 and 4. And it says this, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." You know what? I'm probably not, unless you're pretty young, most of us out there are like, there are physical struggles that we go through that we're like, I wish I could be healed from all those things. I wish I could be made completely whole. God will ultimately heal all your diseases. Ultimately, you will, if you're a believer today, you will spend eternity in God with a whole body that is perfect. And you won't have to deal. Isn't that something to praise the Lord about? Isn't that something to look forward to? Praise the Lord. I know that someday I may have struggles here on this earth. I might have physical struggles and my body just isn't what it used to be. Pretty much all of us can say that. Little Wesley over there, he's just like, "Nope, I'm doing good, everybody. I'm feeling pretty good. You know, all I have to do is eat and sleep." But the rest of us, pretty much all of us, are like, "Nope, we can already see the problems and already see that destruction, that decay. But we know one day that will all be taken care of." He also says, verse 4, "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction." Redeems thy life from destruction. David knew full well the destruction that sin had caused in his life. And he understood that only the Lord could buy it back. Redeemed means to buy back. He was in a desperate situation because of sin. And I was thinking of this destruction and the idea of the pit. And it made me think of Psalm 40, verses 1 through 4. It says this, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song on my mouth." And what was that song? "Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust." David had a new song in his heart because God had brought him up out of the pit. It brought him up out of despair. You know, for those of us who are saved, we look at our past life and we understand the need for redemption. Jesus paid the price and bought you out of the marketplace of sin. I think of the song, "Jesus paid it all to him I owe." Not only that, but it says here in the end of verse 4, it says, "Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." He not only redeems us, he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Stop and think about that for a moment. A crown speaks of abundant blessing. Abundant blessing. David speaks of being blessed with loving kindness. And God's covenant faithfulness, that's what loving kindness means, God's covenant faithfulness to him, and his mercies. Just think of it, it's a crown, it's overshadowing all, and God says, and he says, "I've been crowned, I've been blessed completely with God's loving kindness. God cares for me." How do we know that God cares for us? Because he sent his son to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What more blessings could we ask for? If that's the only thing that you can praise the Lord for today, That's worthy of all his praise, that he died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin. Isn't that worthy of praise? Isn't that worthy of giving him all your praise? And notice also, who satisfy thy mouth with good things. David saw God's benefits even in the ordinary things of life. We sometimes think we have to have something huge to praise God for. What's David speaking about, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things? What satisfies your mouth? What good thing satisfies your mouth? It's what you eat. It's what you eat. I know most of us pray before a meal, but how often do we truly praise God for all the good things that he's given us to eat? We are blessed beyond compare in America. I was wondering, you know, Solomon had all these luscious things to eat. I wonder if what Solomon had could compare to, and I realize he had quantity, he had, you know, more than, you know, he could ever consume. But I wonder if you take what Solomon had and compare it to everything that we have available today. All the good things, I don't think he could compare to all the good things available to us today just in things to eat. We are blessed beyond compare in America. How many places have the variety of food that you can find in the USA when you go to a grocery store, in this grocery store? And, you know, you don't just have to decide to go to Meijer. You can go to Aldi. You can go to Ruler Foods. You can go to, you know, just wherever you want to go and find good food. And just think of it, all that's available. How many of you like blueberries? I want an answer. How many of you like blueberries? Some of you don't like blueberries. You didn't raise your hand. You know what? And I love summer, because then the Michigan blueberries come in and they taste way better than those blueberries from Peru or some other place. They taste way better. And not just because I'm from Michigan, they are just good blueberries. They just taste different. I'm sure if you had blueberries around here, they'd be good too. But you know, I can eat blueberries. I eat as many blueberries as I can during that time. I just buy blueberries every, until basically, you know, that's on the list. When blueberries in season, buy the blueberries. But you know what? Some of you don't like blueberries, but you like, might like pineapple. Oh, but I don't like pineapples. How about bananas? How about oranges? How about apples? How many different kinds of apples are there out there to eat? All different kinds of apples. I mean, and some of you might be really crazy and you don't even like fruit. I should pick on Noah today and ask him if he likes fruit. He probably doesn't. Noah likes chicken nuggets and French fries from McDonald's. That's what Noah likes. If he could live on chicken nuggets and French fries from McDonald's, that would be his. See, his mom is even saying yes. I know Noah. I mean, if he could live at McDonald's, maybe you should get a job at McDonald's, Noah. Then you wouldn't like him so much anymore, but. You know, but if you don't like fruit, how many types of vegetables can you go in the store and buy? More than I even know. You go into Meijer, there's more vegetables there than I even know what they are. So much variety, so many good things. What about meat? Oh, you can go in the superstore, you can buy chicken, you can buy turkey, you can buy beef, you can buy pork, you can buy seafood, salmon, lobster in some stores. You don't know how to cook, or you don't want to cook? You can go to fast food. You can go to a buffet. You can go to Chinese. You can go to Mexican. You can go American. You can go to fast food. You can go to chicken place. You can go to seafood place. You can go to steak place. What's that? What am I saying here? The Lord has been so good to us. There's so many blessings out there that we are not thankful for. And that's not even mentioning pies and cakes and candies and, best of all, ice cream. Thank you for some people know what I was going to say. Best of all, ice cream. And tonight, we're not thinking about the motorcycles, okay? Tonight, we get to partake of pie. We get to come and praise the Lord and partake of pie and ice cream and whatever else you decide to make. What blessings that we have. Most of us probably don't see the great blessings we have when it comes to the variety, quantity, quality of food that we are blessed with in America. We don't see it. I know that's really distracting. Verse number 1 and 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits.